From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Tuesday's primary settled the races for county commissioner in the two contested districts. In Commissioner District 1, Kristen DeRuda Wharton polled 127 votes, and Frank Moe had 86. Harry Drabeck came in third with a respectable 73 votes. Steve Fleece had 40 votes, John Bakovich 20, and Jerry Henniker 8. Three precincts are counted in District 1, Colville, Grand Portage, and Hovland. In Commissioner District 5, incumbent Bruce Martinson led the field of four with 169 votes. Jenny Storley came in second with 130. Stan Tull had 73. Tim Gettle came in with 68 votes. Four precincts are counted in that district: Lutzen, Schroeder, Tofte, and Pike Lake. In the November 4 general election, Jan Sievertson is running unopposed in District 3, and it will be Wharton and Moe facing off in 1, Martinson and Storley in 5. Filings for city and school board positions closed this week with some last-minute filings. For the Grand Marais mayor's position, J. Arrowsmith Deku will face Lawrence Scully. There are two seats open on the city council, and four candidates have filed: Dave Mills, Vance Benedix, Reed Duchek, and Anton Moody. For ISD 166 school board, seats for District 1, 3, and 5 are up for election. Jeannie Anderson has filed for District 5, Deb White for 1. Both are incumbents. No one has filed for District 3. Hospital Board incumbents Howard Abrahamson, Thomas Spence, and Sharon Bloomquist have all filed. The owner of a now-closed Minnesota head shop has been sentenced to 17 and a half years in prison for selling synthetic drugs. Federal prosecutors asked a judge Thursday to make an example out of Jim Carlson, who was convicted on 51 counts related to selling synthetic drugs from his Duluth shop, Last Place on Earth. Carlson gave a 20-minute statement saying he felt unfairly singled out. He says he believed what he was selling was legal, arguing that many other stores and countless internet sites sell the synthetics. The drugs mimic marijuana, illegal stimulants, and hallucinogens, and can have dangerous side effects. Prosecutors say the sentence handed down Thursday sends a strong message that synthetic drugs are illegal and dangerous. U.S. Senators Amy Klobuchar and Al Franken urged key Senate appropriators to take action to prevent the closure of mail processing centers in Duluth, Bemidji, St. Cloud, and Mankato. In a bipartisan letter sent Thursday, Senators Klobuchar, Franken, and 48 others pressed the Senate Appropriations Committee, which sets the levels of funding for specific programs in the budget, to delay the shutdown of mail processing centers and give Congress the opportunity to finish comprehensive postal reform. The senators wrote, quote, "Since the Postal Service slowed down the delivery of first-class mail over 2 years ago by revising its service standards, it has been more difficult for the American public and small businesses to receive mail in a timely manner. Slowing down mail delivery even further will hurt senior citizens on fixed incomes, small businesses, and the entire economy," unquote. Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe told workers at the Duluth mail processing plant in July that the closures would come in 2015 as a continuation of the U.S. Postal Service's reductions started in 2011. The state is partnering with a private conservation organization to raise funds to study why Minnesota's moose population has dramatically declined in recent years and how that trend could be reversed. A portion of proceeds from sales or sponsorships of one of Minnesota's most recognized wildlife artists, Les Kuba, will be directed to moose research. Kuba was a devoted conservationist who died in 1998 and donated original works and prints to conservation groups to raise money. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources has also released a new critical habitat license plate designed to provide funds to conservation efforts statewide. Sales of the new moose plate started August 1st. A Kuba painting is featured on the new plate. The revenue from the license plates goes to the state's program, which funds land acquisition and non-game research. More than 15 million metric tons of cargo moved through the St. Lawrence Seaway in July, down just 4% over last year, marking a sustained comeback after the slow start to the shipping season. The month of July was extremely busy for our ports on the Great Lakes Seaway system as they handled high-value cargoes like steel, wind components, and machinery that arrived from 13 different countries, so said Rebecca Sproul, who is Director of Trade Development for the St. Lawrence Seaway Development Corporation. She went on to say, when compared to July of last year, double the number of foreign-flagged ships from as far away as Korea and Taiwan transited through the U.S. locks. On July 17th, the BBC cargo ship Peter Rowena arrived in Duluth carrying more than 24 renewable wind energy components after a voyage from Brande, Denmark, where the equipment is manufactured by Siemens AG. Since the port first started handling these project cargoes for Minnesota Power, 15 shiploads of wind energy equipment have crossed the Atlantic Ocean, sailed through the St. Lawrence Seaway and across the Great Lakes to Duluth. The first shipments arrived in 2006 for the Bison Wind Energy Center in North Dakota. The fourth phase of that project is underway. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.